These are from an old anthology called The Satisai, 2,000 years old. It was like touching the tenderest dew-covered petals, the 100 intimate places she guided my hands. Or was night just a dream? Today she tosses her head and won't look at me. Night after night in the rainy season, I'd push my way through village mud to your door. The mud is no different today, but how cold you have grown, how ungrateful. And by a wonderful woman poet named Shilaba Tarika, who's only survived by 6 poems. This is one of the finest poems in the language. Nights of jasmine and thunder, torn petals, wind in the tangled kadumba trees, nothing has changed. Spring comes again and we've simply grown older. In the cane groves of Narmada River, he deflowered my girlhood before we were married. And I grieve for those faraway nights we played at love by the water.
The Cane Groves of the Narmada River, Erotic Poems of Ancient India, is the book. Andrew Schelling is the author. We're talking with Andrew Schelling and Anne Waldman, two of the folks involved in the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics in Boulder, Colorado. I'm Paul Nelson. When we look at the workshop you two facilitated on the poetics of Allen Ginsberg, the mind-writing slogans are a fascinating component of the event. These were collected. Were they originally collected in the Disembodied Poetics Anthology? Is that where they first came up? And they certainly have been enhanced and altered since then, or there have been a new version created. Can you talk about the process of collecting these slogans?
Well, Allen was developing this list over his years of teaching, and a lot of his first teaching, you know, in the more traditional, not that we're traditional, but in a, you know, in a setting, was at Naropa. So he gathered a lot of these up himself. He used them actively as his, in his own practice, and recommended them highly. They're not just his own sayings. Many things from Pound, from his Buddhist teacher Chögyam Trungpa, from
William
Keats,
Blake,
from William Blake,
Carl Riccosi.
So very much came out of his, you know, his reading and his studies, and poets that he was very attentive to. And, you know, one of the, of course, major quote from Blake around the minute particulars look to the little ones. And that was key. Things are symbols of themselves. A sense of generosity, his own lines about, as you were quoting earlier, poetry easing suffering, everything else drunken, dumb show.
And he worked them over the years. You can find that the title poem to his book, Cosmopolitan Greetings, is actually made up of many of his mind-writing slogans. So he was working on them and refining them over the decades, and they appear in a number of places.
Could you read a few of those? You have a nice little chapbook there. And William Carlos Williams, Jack Kerouac, some of the other folks reference Charles Olson.
Nothing is better for being eternal, nor so white as the white that dies of a day, Louis Zukofsky.
And these are 4 from Allen. Notice what you notice. Catch yourself thinking. Observe what's vivid. Vividness is self-selecting.
And from William Carlos Williams, no ideas but in things. No ideas but in the facts. And again from Williams, close to the nose.
Jack Kerouac, don't think of words when you stop, but to see picture better. Details are the life of prose, also Jack Kerouac.
And from Allen, intense fragments of spoken idiom best, which is repeated a little bit up there by William Butler Yeats. And being old, she put a skin on everything she said.
Tailoring from Gregory Corso, the late, recently late Gregory Corso.
And from Allen, maximum information, minimum number of syllables.
One touch of nature makes the whole world kin.
And William Blake, God appears and God is light to those poor souls who dwell in night. But does a human form display to those who dwell in realms of day?
From Bob Dylan, the purpose of art is to stop time.
And from Ezra Pound, to be men, not destroyers.
Now, when we hear those, to me, they resonate quite deeply. In fact, I've been talking about stopping time before I knew about the Dylan quote, and I'm sure he was there about 40 years ahead of me. But when we read those and we think about those and we think about most of the poetry that we have nowadays, it's as if that kind of stuff is totally foreign to them. The poetry that comes out of the academies, it's they haven't read the stuff yet. They're still catching up to the 20th century.
No, but there's an energy that comes through in various other venues than the academy. And I think the kinds of work that you're doing here at SPLAB and the poetry marathons are very much inspired by these kinds of aphorisms.
The work in a lot of alternative places, the work at the St. Mark's Poetry Project, the little project Proskas Poetiki in Prague, project I was involved with in Vienna, the City Lights folk in Florence who take a sort of magic bus on the road, very inspired still by Alan and other members of the so-called Beat literary movement. But I think, you know, it's more than that. Something like this line of the destroyers, to be human, not destroyers, resonates with everything we've been talking about politically. So they're more than just literary ideas and skillful means in terms of making poetry. They actually have a deeper ethical, physiological, psychological kind of resonance. So they can open, I think what's wonderful about working with them as teachers and as writers is the kind of discourse they can provide. I mean, you can go on and on around negative capability or the idea of things being symbols of themselves or close to the nose. And if you really examine, and you know, like runes or like koans, they can go in a lot of myriad directions. So I'm not sure particularly what the I think this would be great if these things were more instituted in. Well, we don't want to use that word.
Well, they're definitely going to get more exposure as time goes by because people are going to be understanding this more and more as time goes by. That's my feeling, my gut feeling. American Sentences, also a form used in the workshop created by Alan, 17-syllable sentences based on haiku. Any words of wisdom about how that was created?
Well, based on haiku, which Alan loved the idea that it was 17 syllables, but he was also very interested, of course, in Buddhism for the second half of his life, and probably the central mantra or wisdom phrase of Buddhism comes from the Heart Sutra. It runs, gate, gate, para, gate, para, samgate, bodhi, swaha. And Alan discovered that that has 17 syllables also. And so he felt that maybe 17 syllables had a more universal application.
It was not
just located in Japan or old India. And so this was a way of him playing with that possibility.
Americanizing.
Of course, the Japanese line, as we were pointing out in the workshop, is, you know, one line down, the characters running down the page. It's not broken up into these three neat lines as you see in translated haiku. So, you know, the sense of that one, and also the running together of the thoughts that has the energy of the way the mind works, that actually you are putting these things together, even though they seem tripartite, and in the traditional view of the haiku, heaven, earth, man, in the winter cabinet, the fly has died of old age. In the medicine cabinet, the winter fly has died of old age.
Kerouac's haiku.
And if you think of Alan's maxim, maximum information, minimum number of syllables. Well, 17 is a small number of syllables, so how to make a poem that really carries the weight of a poem. And I think that fascinated him and should become a form that's used regularly in workshops.
It's a great discipline, and I enjoy doing it. I've been doing them in preparation for the workshop, which then I didn't get to attend, which is one of the crazy things about my life. Shall we end with a poem of Alan's? Maybe something a couple of minutes long, because we're just about out of time.
Yes.
And I could certainly have you in here for several hours and not get all the questions answered, but Anne Waldman and Andrew Schelling, about to read Allen Ginsberg.
Why I meditate.
I sit because the Dadaists screamed on Mirror Street.
I sit because the Surrealists are angry pillows.
I sit because the Imagists breathed calmly in Rutherford and Manhattan.
I sit because 2,400 years.
I sit in America because Buddha saw a corpse in Lumbini.
I sit because the Yippies whooped up Chicago's tear gas skies once.
I sit because... No, because...
I sit because I was unable to trace the unborn back to the womb.
I sit because it's easy.
I sit because I get angry if I don't.
I sit because they told me to.
I sit because I read about it in the funny papers.
I sit because I had a vision, also dropped LSD.
I sit because I don't know what else to do like Peter Orlovsky.
I sit because after Lunacharsky got fired and Stalin gave Zadanov a special tennis court, I became a rootless cosmopolitan.
I sit inside the shell of the old me.
I sit for Jean Arthur Rimbaud's Christmas on Earth.
I sit for world revolution.
Amen. Well, it's just been a delight having you in town. I wish you continued success with your work. I hope that we can get you back here soon. And thank you so much. We're going to be going on this energy for a long, long time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Ann Waldman and Andrew Schelling have been my guests. They're involved in the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics in Boulder, Colorado. More information at naropa.edu. That's the Naropa University website. Of course, we'll have a link on both our sites at inpeoria.org, I-N-P-E-O-R-I-A.org, and splab.org.